From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 31st day of January 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Our own Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming, will be here with the Ag News for the afternoon. Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist, will help us take a look at crop rotations and what difference it makes over the long term and income in the state of Illinois, especially a central Illinois farm. We'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and John Leidy of True Point Cooperative out of Ohio will be here to talk about cash, grain, and bases in his area and how things finished up for the cropping season there. They had a very rough row of it as they made their way through a very wet harvest season in Ohio. It all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for a Tuesday afternoon. Futures were higher in the wheat pit. March contract at $6.66 a bushel, up 21 and a quarter. The May futures at $6.80 and a quarter, up 21 and a half. And July soft red at $6.91, 19 and three quarters higher. The hard red winter in Kansas City finished the July at $7.31 and a half cents, up 17 and three quarters. March corn futures back in Chicago, $6.39, up 7 and a quarter. May futures, $6.45 and a quarter, 7 and a half cents higher. And July corn, $6.48 and three quarters, up 7 and a half. September, $5.93 and a half, up 6 and a quarter. And December corn, $5.69 and a half cents, 4 and three quarters of a cent higher. March soybean futures, $11.99, up 13 and three quarters. May at $12.08 and a half, up 13 and a quarter. July soybeans, $12.18, up 13. August at $12.16, up 12. And September at $12.07 and a half in the bean pit, up 9.5 cents. November soybeans, 7 higher at $12, a penny and a half. Bean meal at $3.19.30, up 6.60. Bean oil at $50.87, up 62 for the day. Live cattle finished the Aprils at $128.57 and a half, up 82 and a half. Feeders in the April at $157.62 and a half, up $1.02 and a half, and the lean hogs finished the April futures at $88.87 and a half per 100 pounds, $1.72 and a half higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading at $98.43, down 35 cents. Ethanol at $2.16 and 7 tenths, a tenth of a cent higher for the day. Natural gas at $2.50 and 4 tenths, down 20 and 9 tenths of a cent. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $3.06 and 2 tenths of a cent, up a penny and a tenth. And the gold futures for the day at $1,737.80 an ounce, $6.80 higher. The dollar at $79.29, that's up 0.12 for the day. The CRB index at 312.38, down 1.53. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Yet this afternoon, partly sunny, a high of 61. It'll be breezy today with a west wind at 15 to 20 out of the southwest, actually. It'll gust all the way to 29. And then tonight, a 40% chance of showers, mainly before midnight, mostly cloudy, a low of 40. Southwest winds will continue at 7 to 15. They'll turn to the northwest, and winds will gust as high as 20. Wednesday, mostly sunny with that northwest wind. You think it would be a little cooler, and it is, but not by much. 52 degrees the high tomorrow. West-northwest wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 31 with a west-northwest wind at about 5. And Thursday, mostly sunny, a high near 51. Light and variable winds on Thursday of this week. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 33. Friday, partly sunny, a high of 47. And Friday night, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a low of 35 degrees. Saturday, rain, mostly cloudy, a high near 44. Saturday night, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy. The low on Saturday evening, 32 degrees. Sunday should show us partly sunny skies, a high of 41 degrees. Sunday night, cloudy and 27. And on Monday, start of the next work week, mostly sunny skies, a high near 40 degrees. We'll talk more about the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Police and services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon, or rather Tuesday afternoon. On the line with us is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Turnaround Tuesday, because yesterday was kind of ugly in Chicago, but a lot more green there today.
Yes, a lot of green on the screen. We started out the day with the crude oil being up strong, the dollar being down a little bit to start the day, and just a positive feeling towards things after the overnight when we saw a little buying return by some of the funds. So started out the day fairly strong, sold off a little bit midday, and come back and really hit them to the upside on the close, Todd.
Any good reason for that, or was it just a bounce off the lows from yesterday?
I think that we saw some support levels hitting the corn. We've come back on those. We continue to see very tight farmer holding as far as the corn goes. And I think that we're having a little trouble in some of our ethanol plants buying some corn right now. So I think that, you know, we had some buying in the corn and the beans. Oh, they probably stepped on them a little hard yesterday, so they had a little bit of a comeback, just sort of a half 50% retracement from yesterday's losses.
Before the end of the last year, the ethanol plants were moving as fast as they could to grind corn. That, of course, in part because the tax credit was going away. I don't know that it was all that expected that they would come up short at this point with corn. Why is the cash basis so high for them and the corn not there?
Well, first off, you know, as we sold off after the government report and got down to lower levels, why that really slowed the pace of farmers selling. They kept the bin doors fairly well closed, and they're waiting for that that cash price to be, you know, $6.50 again. A lot of them still holding for $7. So, you know, that's what's going on, especially over here. I think that Cargill at Linden's paying like 20 over here tonight. So basically that gets them back over that $6.50 mark, and I think we'll see a little corn move at that level.
And what would normal basis for Cargill Linden be?
Well, at this time of year, mm-hmm. Probably even basis.
So it would be even. So it's about a 20, 25 cent
pop. It's a 25 cent premium over. We actually, this, I think if they go around the whole Midwest, these are record high basis for this time of year from all-time periods, basically.
Right. Most of the time, when the market is in overs and it's screaming for corn, it's usually a good idea, as for most, to give it corn to reward the market. That's what's generally said. Is that the case today?
I think there's no reason why you shouldn't in that respect. Whenever you can get a very good basis for your corn, I mean, you can always replace it or just put it on a basis contract or, you know, go ahead and but move it on out that way,
right.
And especially this time of year. So I see no reason not to move some corn here.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about it today, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. He will be part of our all-day Ag Outlook meeting over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can dial in again right now because our staffer is there to reserve your place at 217-333-7300. Our all-day Ag Outlook meeting is the 6th day of March. That's the first Tuesday of the month.
Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
Hey, Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, is here with the Ag News. Dave, by the way, happens to put together the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. Thanks so much to him for doing a great job again this year.
In agricultural news, the World Bank today says that global food prices are set to decline further in 2012 as a weaker world economy dampens consumer demand while food supplies rise. The World Bank says that prices have declined steadily, but volatility has increased, including among staples like wheat, corn, and rice. In some countries, domestic food prices are higher than levels in 2010, keeping pressure on poor households. The World Bank says that its 2011 annual food price index shows prices are still 24% higher than in 2010, despite some decline. Global prices fell 8% in the 3 months from September to December 2011, ending the year 7% below December 2010 levels. Archer Daniels Midland today reported financial results for the quarter ending December 31st. The company reported net earnings for the quarter of $80 million, or 12 cents per share, both down 89% from the same period 1 year earlier. ADM Chairman and CEO Patricia Wirtz says, quote, "The ongoing weakness in global oil seeds margins, lower results in corn, and poor international merchandising results hurt our second quarter profits. Oil seeds processing profit declined $72 million amid continued weakness in the global margin environment. Corn processing results declined $532 million. Agricultural services profit decreased $268 million on poor international merchandising results and lower U.S. export volumes. Ukrainian analysts say that Ukraine is likely to increase its corn harvest by 10% to 25 million tons in 2012 by sowing a larger area this year. Ukraine has raised its corn harvests for 10 years in a row from 3.6 million tons in 2001 to 22.5 million tons in 2011. The increase would compensate for fall in the area under wheat that was damaged by poor weather. About a third of Ukrainian winter wheat crops are in poor state and could be reseeded this spring. And Exxon says its fourth quarter earnings rose 2% as higher oil prices made up for a drop in production. The largest U.S. oil company has seen production from its oil fields decline as it invests heavily in U.S. natural gas fields. The shift so far has not paid off as natural gas prices have dropped. Exxon's net income totaled $9.4 billion, or $1.97 per share. That compared with $9.25 billion, or $1.85 per share a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. Dave helps put together, actually puts the whole thing together for the all-day Agricultural Outlook meeting, has done a fantastic job for the 22nd annual version of that meeting. It'll be at the Beef House on the 6th day of March, and you can call in right now at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300 for your tickets. Pre-registration, not a requirement exactly, but we will maybe sell out before we get to that point. You might want to call in now and reserve your place. It's $25 for the all-day Ag Outlook meeting. Call now at 217-333-7300. Now, up next, earlier in the day, I spoke with Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois, about crop rotations and what difference they make in long-term income from a farm. I asked him why he did it to begin with.
We've seen farmers moving to more corn, but the last couple of years we've seen yield drags on corn after corn, or pretty substantial yield drags in central Illinois, and also corn costs have increased pretty dramatically. So we wanted to just look and see what sequence or rotation seemed to be the most profitable in Illinois.
Where did you derive the yield numbers from?
We specified yield numbers that look a lot like central Illinois, and just to give you a feel for that, our corn after soybeans was 198 bushels. That comes from FBFM. And then we used work conducted by Emerson Nafsinger and other crop scientists to specify corn after corn, continuous corn, and soybeans after 2 years of corn yields. The corn after corn yield was 10 bushels lower than 198 or 188. Continuous corn was 180 bushels.
So an 18-bushel yield drag.
For continuous corn, the yield drag was 18 bushels.
And then you started putting numbers to it to see what happened over the long run, not just 1 year, but over the lifetime of a rotation.
Yep, over a lifetime of a rotation. And if you look at all our budgets, corn will always be the most more profitable than soybeans. But so if you only look at it from a one-year standpoint, corn will be the most profitable. But when you do that, you take those yield drags, which will reduce returns over time. Our most profitable rotation was corn, soybeans. So one corn after soybeans for 1 year, corn after corn, and then soybeans. And what primarily drives that is that when you plant soybeans, even though it does have lower, our budget suggests lower returns than corn, the year after that, you get that, you don't have that yield drag that comes with corn after corn.
So put some numbers to it. How many dollars per acre do you give up?
And then our continuous corn budget, so if you continually plant corn, would be $467 per acre. And that's using a price that's $535 for corn and $1,185 for soybeans. But $467 for continuous corn, our corn soybean rotation, our most profitable one, would be $504. So that's a $30-plus dollar increase over continuous corn.
And that's on average over time.
That's on average over time. And again, you're looking corn, soybeans. So 1 year of corn after soybeans, second year would be corn after corn, and then soybeans. So it is looking at it over time.
Right. And so not necessarily in the second or third year do you're making more money, or the opposite way around, depending on which rotation you're doing, but
over time, if you averaged it over time, you would come up with that with the corn soybean rotation having a higher return than continuous corn.
And that's for Central Illinois. Can you draw out conclusions for the state?
I would expect it to be the same for northern Illinois. Again, any place where you have yield drags, you'll see soybeans coming in the rotation. Southern Illinois might be more soybean intense, because what we see is that on lower productivity farmland, corn yields come down faster than soybean yields come down, so that tends to favor soybeans over corn. Central Illinois probably is one of the areas with the widest gaps between corn and soybean rotations, or corn and soybean yields, and northern Illinois has substantial corn soybean yield differences as well.
In the southern part of the state, did you figure wheat into the rotation at all?
Wheat always comes in. The profitable rotations in southern Illinois is corn, soybeans, and a wheat double crop soybean in there. So those three crops, if you will, corn, soybeans, and wheat double crop soybeans. Wheat double crop soybeans, wheat to be profitable has to have double crop soybeans in it.
Does it matter very much how much tillage is involved in any of the operations?
Yeah, and in particular, tillage, yes, it does. And tillage, if you look at our cost estimates, would add about $12 to $15 per acre for each tillage pass. If we're using more tillage to break down residue from corn after corn, that does dramatically reduce the cost advantage to having heavier corn rotations. So, yeah, it does matter a lot.
And was heavier tillage used in your continuous corn or even in your corn soybean rotation?
We in the initial ones, no, they weren't. But we provide estimates if you have to have one more additional tillage pass, what that does to the relative profits of the rotations.
Does it make one or the other rotation a better option?
It causes corn, and it still causes corn. One more tillage pass would still has corn soybeans coming out on top, but it's very close to corn soybeans.
Anything else that we need to add?
No, it's just these cropping decisions obviously have longer run impacts on returns, and we attempted to look at those, and that gets a little bit complicated, but it is something that we should consider as we're making our cropping decisions.
Well, Gary Schnitke is a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois, a member of the FarmDoc team. You can find his article on cropping rotations at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, have you gotten your ticket yet for our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting? If not, the number is 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. $25. The All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's an annual event. We're in our 22nd year at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Now time to take a look at the cash grain market. John Lighty of True Point Cooperative out of Botkins, Ohio, is on the line with us. They have about 26 facilities that stretch in Ohio, from the Ohio River all the way up to Fort Wayne. I suppose that's Indiana, but here Botkins is just about 50 miles north of Dayton. Thanks so much, John, for joining us again. He has joined us several times throughout this year, talking about the corn crop and the season in Ohio. Are you done harvesting corn yet?
We're coming down the home stretch. Of course, it's warmed up here. We've been in the 40s and up in the 50s today, so the ground is thawed out. And you drive around, you don't see a whole lot of fields out there, but there still are a few. But up through middle of December, we had our biggest harvest weekend the weekend before Christmas.
Wow. So it was really late. But and you were thinking you were going to have an awfully good harvest the last time I talked to you. Then the rain started to come. How did it turn out?
We had an excellent harvest in this area. Now, as small as a state, you know, as Ohio is, there was some real variation in the crop. You get down between here and the High River, what we call the Greenville area, and that there's a couple, three ethanol plants down that area just north of Dayton. They were extremely dry, and there was corn. We have one facility in that area, and the corn was in the 90 to 110 bushel an acre, and Anderson's and Cardinal and Poet all have ethanol plants right in that area, and they're screaming now for corn.
Well, they're screaming for corn, and you and I talked earlier. That's why I knew that there was still some harvest going. They're screaming from corn. Where are they getting it from? Does it have to come from Indiana? But I can't imagine that that's any better. So where does it come from?
They're, you know, when our harvest got delayed, there were actually some trains that came into Ohio from the west in October, because we weren't doing nothing here, and you know, the pipeline was empty, and there were some trains that actually stopped in Ohio and were unloaded here. But they're paying 30, 35 over now the March for corn, and they're buying enough to keep them going. Up here at Botkins, we're 10 over,
right?
And which is, you know, we're bidding 15 to 20 cents over normal right now, basis wise.
Is that because you have a short supply? But it didn't, because it doesn't seem like you're. I don't think the numbers showed you had a short supply in harvest,
no.
Total harvest.
No.
But it's what's that? Why?
Farmer holding.
Just farmer holding.
You know, flat price, you know, that puts us in that 650 area. And I think, you know, we've seen $7 a couple of times over the past couple of years, and even $8. And you know, most producers are flat price oriented, and they're willing to wait at this point.
Are they going to wait too long?
Well, that's happened before, too.
Yes, it has. We'll see how that goes. Your bids again for the day are what?
We are on cash wheat. We are at 651. That's 15 under the March. Nearby corn, 649 at 10 over. And soybeans were 1179 at 20 under.
John, thank you so much for taking the time with us. You can't imagine how much the audience appreciates me, too.
Okay, Todd. Talking to you.
Bye-bye now. That's John Lighty. He's at True Point in Botkins, Ohio. I'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. This is the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
It's National Brandy Alexander Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1893, the Coca-Cola trademark was recorded. 2 years later, it was sold in every state and territory in the U.S. In 1908, Carl von Voigt died. a German physiologist. His work on metabolism helped establish modern nutritional science. Von Voigt made the first determination of the amount of fat, protein, and carbohydrate broken down by the body, as well as founded the study on metabolic activity as a guide to disease. In 1930, Scotch tape was developed by Richard Drew of the 3M company. In 1980, due to record high sugar prices, Coca-Cola began substituting high fructose corn syrup for half of the sucrose used in Coca-Cola. In 1990, the first McDonald's restaurant in Moscow, Russia was opened after 13 years of negotiations and an investment of $50 million. McDonald's built an entirely independent Russian organization with its own farms to supply potatoes for its French fries. In 1991, the average U.S. food prices were these. White bread was 71 cents. Grade A large eggs were $1.10 a dozen. Milk sold for $2.76 per gallon. Chicken was 89 cents a pound. And ground beef was $1.65 a pound. And in 2001, Germany announced plans to destroy 400,000 cattle due to mad cow disease. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming on the phone line this afternoon. Don, what a magnificent couple of days we've had here in our part of the world, state of Illinois. Can we expect more temperatures in the 60s and the upper 50s or not?
Yeah, we're going to continue at least here for a couple more days with this very mild weather. And we're sort of living the life of Riley, really. Here we are late January heading into early February with some really nice, not winter-like conditions at all. But we've got a bit of a change coming. Some wet weather is on the way. There's been some changes over the last couple of days that is now indicating that we're going to have a pretty potent storm system develop in a part of the U.S. that really hasn't seen much action. And that's going to be in the western and southern plains. We're going to see quite a winter storm developing over portions of Kansas, portions of Colorado, portions of Nebraska. And this is going to be sliding east into the Midwest here by the weekend.
So will it be a big precipitation producer, and will that be in snow, ice, rainfall, all of the above?
All of the above. I think we'll probably see a little bit of everything. It's not a really cold system, but there'll be enough cold air sinking south out of Canada. The northern areas are going to be looking at some of this precipitation in the frozen form. One thing that is not for certain yet is the exact track of the system, but it could be a very beneficial storm for some of the dry areas of Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas. Will be getting some rain out of this system as well. It's going to end up being probably a newsmaker. It's kind of sneaking up on folks. A couple of days ago, it didn't look like it was going to be much of a system, but now it will be a large system for the U.S.
How much rainfall do you think or precipitation will it drop in those driest areas?
Well, there could be an inch or two, more in some areas.
Turn your attention to the south. Talk about South America. Argentina has been getting rainfall. Are they starting to come back up to snuff, at least for the current time frame? I know it's been pretty tough for a couple of months there.
Well, it has been, and unfortunately they are going to start to trend back to warmer, drier weather, especially Argentina. The recent spell of precipitation is going to be winding down, and the trend over the next week to 10 days is going to be warmer and drier again.
And other places around the globe we ought to be watching?
Well, there's been good rain and more rain in South Africa, southern continent of Africa, the southern parts there, looking at favorable weather pattern, a little bit of rain, and some cooler weather for eastern Australia. Everyone's wondering, where is all the winter cold? Well, a lot of it's over in Europe. Eastern Europe will see severe cold, parts of Asia as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, the 22nd annual All Day Ag Outlook meeting is the 6th day of March. That's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And we sure do have a dynamite lineup, including Mike Morris. He's the chief appraiser at First Farm Credit Services. Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt will be there, along with Joe Vaklovic of Straits Financial and Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services. Our theme for this year's event, managing risk in volatile markets. The cost is just $25. That includes the cotton Continental Breakfast, the Beef House Lunch. Register right now at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. We take all major credit cards and we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line the day of the event. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.